Aloha and welcome to The Conversation. I'm Chris Vandercook. Howdy, Beth Ann.
And hello to you, too, on
Happy
this Mardi Gras.
Mardi Gras Tuesday, yeah. A day to celebrate happiness.
A day to celebrate happiness, indeed, which kind of leads us to our
Doesn't
first
it,
segment.
Though?
Nice job. Almost 2 years ago, Archbishop Desmond Tutu traveled to India to celebrate the Dalai Lama's 80th birthday. They spent a week together talking candidly about their struggles over a lifetime and the nature of one of its most elusive components, joy. Their frank conversation was chronicled in the New York Times bestseller, The Book of Joy, Lasting Happiness in a Changing World. Douglas Abrams compiled the book. He's in Honolulu for a few speaking engagements this week. But first, he's joining us in our studio. Good morning.
Good morning, Beth Ann. Great to be with you.
You've had a long association with Archbishop Tutu. How did this come about that you all decided that it would be a worthy time, given the Dalai Lama's 80th birthday at that point, to come together and create a book about something that most people find so elusive?
Yes. Well, I've had the privilege of working with Archbishop Tutu for over a decade as his collaborative writer and literary agent. And we were actually at the birthday party for his wife with the chairman of the Dalai Lama Foundation, who asked whether the two of them might write a book together. And I turned to him and said, "Wow, that sounds like a fascinating idea. What would it be on?" And we both paused for a moment, thought about it, and said, "Joy." These are two of the most joyful people on the planet, and it just seemed obvious that that's what they would discuss. So I turned to Archbishop Tutu, who was eating a sandwich next to me, and said, "Do you want to write a book with the Dalai Lama?" And he turned to me and he said, "I'd do anything with that man."
And clearly he did.
He did, yes.
When people hear the word joy,
yes,
there are different associations with that word. For some people, it's happiness. For some, it's a greater sense of contentment that goes beyond just that. But how did both of them define joy?
It's a great question. I think the first thing to say is just that both authors wanted this to not be a religious book. They wanted it to bring in science and to be a universal human book. So we went to the scientists, and they basically told us we have four fundamental human emotions. We have fear, we have anger, we have sadness, and we have joy. So it's really, when we're talking about joy, we're talking about everything that, you know, is rewarding and satisfying and engaging and delightful about life. And so many of us spend quite a lot of time in fear, anger, and sadness. And they were quite adamant that about the distinction between joy and happiness, because we often think about happiness as something that is based on external circumstances. We're going to be happy when we get the job. We're going to be happy when we, get married and find our perfect partner, or we have enough money. We're going to be happy. And what joy is, and what they were talking about, is it's really happiness independent of circumstance. It's a kind of internal experience and state that so many of us experience as just a fleeting emotion. But what they remind us is that you can actually cultivate joy and have the capacity for joy more regularly in your life.
That sounds as if we have a choice to be able to bring happiness and joy into our lives regardless of what other things are happening. That's really difficult for a lot of people who get stuck in grief or sadness or loss and realize that, I'm having these emotions. They're one of the basic emotions that in the category of sadness and fear.
Yeah.
Or those two anyway. How do you begin to transcend that? What was some of the lessons in that very candid conversation that they had and the many struggles that they have faced, which makes them pretty, apt to talk about these
Expert,
kinds of
yes.
things? How do they both decide that happiness is the key?
Well, first to say that they don't, and this is not about don't worry, be happy. This is not a kind of superficial understanding of joy. Both men have been through extraordinary hardship, personal and cultural, and they really were quite adamant about honoring the human reality, which utilizes those four notes on the keyboard of life, of emotional life, and they're all there for a reason. Even the fear, anger, and sadness, they talked about what that's there to teach us, which is quite powerful. But what they did in the book was the book has kind of three parts. The first part was, and the first day we were together, we discussed the nature of true joy and how it can be actually not just a fleeting emotion, but a kind of character trait that we can cultivate. And then the second part, they talked about the obstacles to joy. So that was everything from fear, anger, and sadness, and envy, to illness, adversity, and even death. And then they talked about the eight pillars of joy, which are – and one of the fascinating things that came out of the Book of Joy dialogues was that it's not actually about chasing after happiness. Happiness actually comes by cultivating these other eight pillars of joy.
Which are, just so that people aren't left hanging?
Sure. Yes, exactly. So the cliffhanger answer is that there are four pillars of the mind and four pillars of the heart. And the four pillars of the mind are perspective, humility, humor, and acceptance. And the four pillars of the heart are forgiveness, gratitude, compassion, and generosity. And when you cultivate these qualities in your life, your default or your response is much more toward joy, which doesn't mean you won't experience fear, anger, and sadness, but it means that you won't get stuck there in the same way and you can shift and go through it more quickly.
Which seems to bring us to another question I wanted to ask you about. This book was written before we saw a great shift in America's political scene.
Yes.
And now we have it. And a lot of people find accessing joy to be really difficult.
Yeah.
And I have heard so often people say, I'm so upset, I'm so angry, I'm so depressed, what are we going to do? I mean, just asking those questions of themselves,
sure.
People at all levels, where it sounds that, you know, trying to be overlaid with a joyous way of approaching life or being able to cultivate happiness might be a little more difficult and at the same time a lot more required.
It's a really great question. And, it's interesting. We obviously were not writing this book knowing what the circumstances in our country would be politically, but we knew there was a great deal of turbulence in the world even then, even while we were writing it, and the refugee crisis and terrorist attacks. And there are obviously a lot of things for people to get despairing and feel hopeless about. And they talked, very powerfully about despair and about the fact that we need to, and I think the way to say it is not let a life or any incident rob us of our joy. That actually, when we surrender that joy, here's a man who has lived through the apartheid regime in South Africa, who experienced enormous oppression. Here's another man who has been, as Archbishop Tutu calls it, for the Dalai Lama, turfed out of his country and gone into exile. But the despair ultimately does not change the reality. And so they talked about how perspective is essential. When you see the broader perspective, it's so easy, whether the suffering is in our own life or it's in our world, to fixate on that suffering and to see that suffering and that adversity as everything. And the book was really about how do you experience joy in the face of adversity. But when you have that broader perspective, it frees you in this way to actually see something more than just the shadows.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, the idea that if you can keep yourself or mitigate at least how you plug into the suffering,
yes,
you're going to be a lot more able to actually do something about it.
Exactly. And there are two other components that I would say in terms of despair. One of the pillars of joy is acceptance, which is not acquiescence. So these are two men who have worked, they are two of the great activists in the world. And so it's not necessarily just about, acquiescing to the realities that exist, but it's about accepting that reality and not fighting against the existence of that reality. And then ultimately to get involved in a way that is compassionate and generous and active, right? So much of the despair, I think, comes from a place of helplessness or a feeling of helplessness or hopelessness. And one of the messages of the Book of Joy was that the fastest way to experience more joy is to bring it to others. And when we can do that, we can move ourselves out of despair.
And it's interesting watching Archbishop Tutu doing that even as he is facing ongoing cancer.
Exactly, yeah.
Thank you so much for coming in.
It's such a pleasure to be here, Beth Ann. I'm so delighted to be in Hawaii and to be here for Books and Spirits and at the University of Hawaii. It's been just a privilege.
All kinds of good things happening this week. Douglas Abrams is one of tonight's featured speakers at Books and Spirits and later on in the week at UH Manoa. Stay tuned for the second half of the show. Chris will talk to Doug's wife, Dr. Rachel Carlton Abrams, who will be speaking tonight, too.